What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. And for those of you watching on Bamuser TV, the gorgeous creature sitting behind me is the lovely Lady Claire, who's been absent from the show these many weeks. And I'm glad to have you back.
Well, I'm very happy to be back. Thank you so much.
So what's the first thing you want to talk about?
Well, the first thing I would like to talk about is more than a little unsettling. And this comes out of Sputnik News, which is a very sober Russian news resource in English. Apparently, the Pentagon is now at the helm of American foreign policy. There is a Canadian-based political analyst, Usama El-Motar, who was talking to a Sputnik interviewer and commenting on the disruption of U.S.-Russian cooperation on Syria. And according to El-Motar, this is really dangerous, Mike.
Well, of course,
really
it's very dangerous to have the military in charge of our foreign policy. Mm-hmm. That's why the Founding Fathers set it up. Only Congress is supposed to be able to declare war.
Right.
And then the president, as the executive branch, goes to the military and says, go do the war Congress just told us to do.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem to be happening.
No, and there's a lot of people who are still thinking when the U.S. attacked that Syrian army position, that the order did not, in fact, come from the White House. And we certainly have Ash Carter acting like a loose cannon on deck. He's out there screaming for more war almost as much as John McCain is.
Yeah.
They're just frothing at the mouth. I think war is going to solve the economic problems or at least give them something to blame for it in order to save their own hides from an angry American people.
Yep, definitely. And I'm very concerned if the internal polling numbers for the DNC and the White House appear that Trump is going to absolutely wipe the floor with Hillary Clinton in this election, that that's going to accelerate the push.
Yeah, it is. Over at the United Nations, in dread of a Trump presidency, they're rushing through that Paris Climate Accord to try and have it a done deal and ratified before Trump can take office. And yes, if it does look like Trump is going to have a landslide victory that can overcome the election stealers, then yes, I expect the war party will get our hot war with Russia going before the end of the year.
Yeah.
And they're going to stick Donald Trump with World War III the way the Wall Street bankers stuck President Hoover with the Depression of the 1930s.
Right, right, right. There is another interesting email exchange between former White House Communications Director Jennifer Palmieri and Jennifer Psaki. And apparently they were plotting to avoid a swirl of questions about Clinton's email server. And so there were emails going back and forth, and they were trying to figure out how Secretary of State Kerry could avoid the swirl of questions from the media about Hillary Clinton's private email server. The Wall Street Journal was shown the emails by the Republican National Committee, which was obtained from them with an FOIA request. And Palmieri emailed Psaki asking if it was possible between us on the shows, think we can get this done so he is not asked to talk about email? But Psaki agreed, adding that she was working to crush the story from her position at the State Department. Good to go on killing CBS idea, Psaki wrote a day later. And we are going to hold on to any other TV options just given the swirl of out there. According to the Journal's report, the pair was apparently discussing an upcoming appearance by Kerry on CBS's Face the Nation. Oh yeah, we believe that it just honestly was never really taken off the table, right? True and free speech and hard questions coming from corporate media outlets like CBS. Michael, in the immortal words of Tony Soprano, forget about it. This is how they work.
Yeah, it is how they work.
Yeah.
And it is such a dangerous situation right now. And of course, we're concerned because right outside this window here, we are about 2.5 miles away from a first strike nuclear target. And We're going to see the rubble bounce. I mean, we're seeing the chiefs of staff and Ash Carter, and they're abandoning the previous policy of no first use of nuclear weapons. They're talking about just authorizing a nuclear strike against Russia. Yeah. I mean, that's as crazy as it gets.
Absolutely. And speaking of crazy, Kerry is now calling for war crimes probes against Russia and Syria. And what he said was, Russia and the regime owe the world more than an explanation about why they keep hitting hospitals, medical facilities, children, and women, Kerry said before a meeting with French Foreign Minister Jean-Marc Ayrault. These are acts that beg for an appropriate investigation of war crimes, and those that commit these would and should be held accountable for these actions. They're beyond the accidental now, way beyond, years beyond accidental. This is a targeted strategy to terrorize civilians and to kill anyone and everyone who is in the way of their military objectives. Well, Secretary Kerry, I've got a statement for you. The Saudis and the Brits and Americans who have sold them the weapons owe the world more than an explanation about why they keep hitting hospitals, medical facilities, children and women in Yemen. These are acts that beg for an appropriate investigation of war crimes.
Well, what Kerry is trying to do is a variation on the Assad is gassing his own people.
Yeah.
Because right now the policy in Washington, D.C. is if at first you don't succeed, lie again.
Right.
And, you know, they have absolutely no proof. It's out there. They're treating like it's a done deal and everybody should know it. And now we have to have war crimes investigations. But Assad came on out the other day with some extreme common sense. He's, how does it help us to be bombing civilian targets and hospitals and schools and the rest of it? And just like the case with the claim that Assad was using sarin on his own Alawite supporters, mm-hmm. there's no motive for him to do it.
Yeah.
It's just another one of these lies trying to start a war or justify a war. And before I let you continue, we need to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are rejoining our network even now. So it is insane. And I guess part of the problem is that this government has gotten by with lies, fraud, and deception for so long, they don't know any other way to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so every time they lie and they get caught, they'll back off for a couple of months, and then they'll figure we've all forgotten about the previous lies, and they'll come out and lie again. But it doesn't work that way anymore because the internet and the independent media have produced a collective memory for humanity that is not time-dependent and not filtered by the state-controlled schools or the state-controlled media or any of that. We do remember we were lied to about Saddam's nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. We do remember we were lied to about Assad using sarin on his own people.
Right.
And so we've got absolutely no reason to listen to or believe or trust anything coming out of Kerry's mouth.
No, he has absolutely put himself in a situation where no one can believe anything he says anymore. You know, he's lost whatever credibility he ever did have.
He may not even care. He's out there playing the diplomatic game that when the U.S. attacks Syria directly and Russia, they're going to say, well, we were justified because they were doing this and they were doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that nobody believes him is irrelevant. As long as in their minds they can craft a justification for more war, they're going to go ahead and have more war.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying. And bopping on over to another spot in the Middle East that's getting almost zero coverage, except with the independent media, Yemen is being starved to death. And apparently there was a CNN reporter on Yemen who, by the name of Peter Salisbury, who made the statement, basically, policymakers in the West see the world as a gigantic game of risk. And they see more value in maintaining their relationship with Saudi Arabia than getting rid of bad PR over Yemen. But meanwhile, Mike, the humanitarian catastrophe in Yemen is about to get worse. With food ships finding it hard to get into Yemen's ports due to a virtual blockade by the Saudi-led coalition that has backed the government during an 18-month civil war, over half the country's 28 million people already do not have enough to eat, according to the UN. Yemen's exiled president, Abd Rabu Mansur Hadi, last month ordered the central bank's headquarters to be moved from the capital, Sana'a, controlled by the Houthi rebels in the north, to the southern port of Aden, which is held by the government. He also appointed a new governor, a member of his government, who said that the bank has no money. Now, the U.S. and UK, in their enabling of Saudi Arabia to bomb civilians in hospitals and schools with impunity, and starve the country are complicit in war crimes. Mike, that's it. Period. End of discussion. And when I was writing an article about this, I mentioned that here at What Really Happened, we are paying attention and bringing these Saudi war crimes into the light of day. And what I did, and normally I don't like to do this, but I felt a point needed to be made. Many of the people who listen to the radio show and read the blog have kids. And I put up some of the most awful examples I could find of dead Yemeni children, courtesy of this bombing of Yemen. I find it absolutely immoral, and I put a caveat out. I think all Americans and Britons need to understand what their government is allowing to happen in Yemen, and they need to start asking some very uncomfortable questions to their alleged representative governments about why the U.S. and U.K. are enabling the Saudi government to commit these acts of genocide in Yemen. Because it's absolutely horrific.
Well, it is a campaign of terror. I mean, we have seen before where our politicians love to play projection. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is they're doing, oh, no, it's not me, it's the other side. We have been seeing Hillary Clinton do that with Bernie Sanders and then Donald Trump. And basically John Kerry is out there saying, no, it's them who are doing the campaign of terror and genocide. But that's exactly what's going on in Yemen, mm-hmm. because the people of Yemen are trying to drive out their U.S. puppet government. And the only way that they can stop that, because it is a true grassroots movement, they have to go in and kill civilians. This is no different than when the U.S. Overthrew the democratically elected government of Salvador Allende in Chile in 1973, then sent in the CIA to train Pinochet's death squads on how to go on out and maximize the fear of the people so that they would sit there and accept their U.S. puppet ruler.
Yeah, looking at some of these images, it's really enough to make you weep. It really is. And children all over the world are innocents who deserve protection from all people. And I find myself very upset and very angry at what the U.S. and the U.K. have done. And, you know, it's the U.K. that gave the world the Magna Carta. And they're behaving like this now? You know, but I guess it's all for the profits of the defense industries.
Well, and for the bankers.
It.
And for the bank. No, the bankers drive it.
Okay.
The bankers love war. Mm-hmm. War is the bankers' richest harvest of debt.
Right.
And again, there was that wonderful movie, The International, which is talking about a bank that's sort of loosely based on the BCCI bank scandal. Where they're out there trying to control this production and distribution of small arms in order to be able to control the debt conflict produces, because that is the real value of a conflict, is the debt it produces for the bankers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'd like to bop over to another part of the Middle East, Israel. The U.S. is admitting that Israel is building a permanent apartheid regime weeks after giving it $38 billion. The Obama administration has continually protected Israel with unstinting loyalty and lavished it with arms and money. This rewarding of Israeli behavior culminated in the administration's announcement just 3 weeks ago that it had signed a memorandum of understanding to significantly increase the amount of money the U.S. gives to Israel every year, even though Israel was by far the biggest recipient of U.S. aid. And under this agreement, the U.S. will give Israel $38 billion, with a B, over 10 years, by far a new record for U.S. aid commitments, even though Israeli citizens enjoy all sorts of state benefits that Americans, whose money is being given to Israel, are told are too costly for them, including universal health care coverage, and tout superior life expectancy and infant mortality rates.
Mortality,
I'm sorry.
Mortality. Yeah, I mean, that's a joke. Israel doesn't need the money.
Yeah.
It does not need the money. It's got a very high standard of living, but what they want is the weapons with which to make war on their neighbors. Mm-hmm. They want to grab the Golan now permanently because of the oil and gas underneath it.
Right.
We were talking about that gentleman earlier about how we must give our lives to annex the West Bank. And, of course, you can bet he won't be out there on the front lines for that one.
No.
It's all about greed and conquest run amok, and ordinary people are just there to be used and sacrificed. You're a commodity. It's like that story yesterday where even though the VA has the resources to provide a decent burial to veterans who die of their injuries that they receive in the war zone, they're just piling them up in the morgue and letting them rot away.
Yeah.
You're being thrown in the trash. They'll grab your kids, train them, send them out to conquer other people's wealth, and if they get killed in the process, just throw them in the trash bin. There's plenty more kids coming around.
And, you know, I have to ask myself, I mean, I really had kind of a palm-to-forehead moment at warp speed reading this. And I have to ask, Michael, just what did President Obama and Congress get from this incredible largesse? And the short answer is absolutely nothing.
They got AIPAC's blessing to stay in office. They got Israel's permission to go on being president and members of Congress. And that's worth all the money they need to take away from you.
And did it persuade Israel to become a signatory to the NNPT, which Israel has signed on to, Iran has signed on to, by the way, permitting its nuclear facilities to be inspected? Heck no.
That would be silly.
And yet, all these people who passed on this legislation for this aid package understand that not one dime of aid to Israel is legal under the Symington Amendment, which prohibits any U.S. financial or military aid to be given to countries which have nuclear capabilities but refuse to sign the NNPT. Well, Israel is a nuclear-armed country which refuses to sign the NNPT. And they signed off on this aid. While our veterans, as you just mentioned, can't get care through the VA, homeless camps, Obama bills, let's call them, in the U.S. are growing exponentially. And
Obama bill. Yeah, I like that. There's a possibility.
Yeah.
I want to make a point here.
Yeah.
AIPAC, of course, should be registered as a lobby of a foreign government. It isn't. It gets all kinds of special exceptions. But AIPAC was fully on board with this JASTA bill to arbitrarily, by imperial edict, blame Saudi Arabia for 9/11 and use lawfare in the American courts to plunder Saudi Arabia's wealth. To the point where Congress not only overwhelmingly voted for the original bill, they voted to overturn Obama's veto. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the first thing that happened, now that the U.S. set the precedent that war and terror void national sovereignty or sovereign immunity, the first thing that happened, Syria is now suing the U.S. government for war crimes. Iraq is suing the U.S. government for war crimes.
Yep.
And members of Congress are out there saying, well, we had no idea this was going to happen. Well,
it's
because you didn't think about it. Israel calls up and says, here's a campaign donation, vote for this thing. And I hear and I will obey my masters in Tel Aviv.
I love the smell of irony in the morning. And essentially, what President Obama and Congress have done, they have allowed Netanyahu to what they have allowed Netanyahu to do collectively is the geopolitical equivalent of him having relieved himself in your faces and telling you it's raining. And the U.S.
Boy, the pollution really is out of control up there.
The U.S. government enabling of Israel, which has become in the 21st century a wretchedly apartheid, self-proclaimed theocracy with nuclear weapons, does not augur
really
well.
Bad attitude.
For peace. And it's also demonstrated clearly to all the other leaders of the Middle East that they can't believe anything that this government says ever, ever again.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And these are dark times. And I got to tell you, when I was a kid, if anybody had told me, you will live to see the United States behaving like this, I would have said, no, my teacher at school told me this is the greatest nation on earth. We don't do that kind of thing. We have to take a break for commercials, and we will be right back.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. I'm looking at the corporate media right now, and they're running the story about how John Kerry is out there demanding that Russia and Syria be investigated for war crimes. I think the U.S. government is overdue for a serious investigation of war crimes. And the banner headline at the bottom, Russian aggression, Russian aggression. Russia is not the aggressor here. Russia didn't invade Iraq. Russia did not invade Afghanistan. Russia did not invade Yemen. Yeah, Russia did not invade Libya. Russia hasn't been trying to get rid of Syria's government for the last 5 years. We all know who the aggressor is.
Yep.
Mr. Kerry, shut the heck up because you're angering me. I'd use stronger language, but the FCC would come in and take away.
I know. Let's not go there. And I've got a story that dovetails into what you were just saying.
Or hawktails in this case.
Despite Russian warning, U.S. considers hitting Assad. Officials with the U.S. State Department have repeatedly talked of quote-unquote non-diplomatic solutions recently in Syria. Though they're trying to be coy, what they're actually talking about is overt military action against the Syrian government, attacks that would threaten Russian forces embedded with them, and likely drag Russia into a shooting war with the U.S. Russia's defense minister was quick to urge caution, noting that they had recently deployed air defense systems into Syria, specifically to counter the threat of a U.S. attack, and that the U.S. should carefully consider the consequences of launching such strikes. And the State Department acknowledged that they were aware of the Russian warning, but insisted that the internal discussion within the United States continues on the non-diplomatic options, which is to say, starting a war with Syria. Spokesman John Kirby added that there would be no discussion with Russia over the matter. And Mike, just because an action is the most pig-headedly, ham-fistedly stupid thing that the U.S. government could do is unfortunately no guarantee that the U.S. government won't do it. And for the U.S. government to say that they have the right to attack a sovereign nation and not allow the military of that sovereign nation to clean out rebels and jihadists there and return the city to order, that looks to me like complete sheer geopolitical madness. And I feel like I personally need to apologize to Russian President Putin and Foreign Minister Lavrov for the utter stupidity and hubris being demonstrated by the U.S. government right now.
Well, see, here's the problem. Since the end of World War II, the U.S. has justified all of these interventions around the world on this idea that the United States is now the world's policeman, which is an idea that has not really been accepted by every other country on the planet, but that's always been the policy. And the reason they're out here talking about war crimes right now is because if they are planning an attack on Syria, it's going to be sold to you, the American people, that we have to save the poor Syrian people from the evil Bashar al-Assad
RPT.
And the evil Putin.
Responsibility to protect.
Yeah, responsibility to protect. And it's nonsense.
Yeah.
It's nonsense. It's complete and utter nonsense. This is another war of conquest. The U.S. has been in Syria for 5 years trying to get Assad to step down so they can put in a puppet government. And this is classic brinksmanship. You know, they're thumping their chest and they're getting ready to launch the war, and they're literally betting the future of our entire planet that Russia is going to back down. I don't think it's going to happen.
Vlad is not a backing down kind of guy.
Well, Vlad has been a very good statesman. He's gone out of his way to not trigger a direct confrontation with the United States. The same thing with Assad. But you shouldn't take that care and caution and use it to assume that when the U.S. directly confronts Russia, that Putin will back down. I don't think he will.
No.
I don't think he will. He can't afford to.
Yeah, and the leadership of this country is already mired in unwinnable wars in places like Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, and Yemen, and yet its appetite for even more carnage appears to be utterly undiminished, Mike.
Well, I think part of the problem, in addition to the realization that Donald Trump may be able to overcome massive election fraud, especially, you know, we're seeing all these stories where the authorities in the states are cracking down on the election fraud. They're not Republicans. They're not being blocked by that consent decree. Ordinary Americans can go on out and do something about the election fraud, and that consent decree doesn't apply because we're not members of the Republican Party leadership. We're not constrained by it. And, you know, they're just going to crank the war up and stick Donald Trump with it. The other part of it is they have to get the wars done quickly because they understand we, the American people, are really fed up with all of this. Okay. Remember, war is when the government tells you who the enemy is. Revolution is when you figure it out for yourself. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need paper fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America, and please don't call because we're closing the phone lines for the rest of the show so that Claire and I can do what Claire and I like to do. What is it you want to talk about now?
Well, I wanted to talk about this coming November's election as the war drums are beating incessantly and the U.S. economy, it looks like it could slide off a cliff any day now. We cannot stand idly by and allow for business as usual, which I believe is what Hillary Clinton represents to win.
She does. She represents a third Obama term.
Yeah.
And I think Susan Sarandon said it best. Mm-hmm. Susan was being interviewed, and, you're a woman, so you're going to be voting for Hillary Clinton. And Susan said, no, I'm not. A vote for Hillary Clinton is a vote for the status quo, and the status quo is not working. And that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Are you happy with the way the nation is being run? If so, vote for Hillary. If you think it's time to change course, then you have to vote for Trump.
Yeah. On the one hand, we have the lying, hubristic sociopath, Hillary Clinton, who will lie, cheat, and steal with impunity to get what she wants.
And kill.
Yes, and the Clinton Foundation's pay-to-play contributions demonstrated just how clearly that worked. And on the other hand, we have Donald Trump, a self-made millionaire, who understands how things get done. I consider him practical and someone who will show restraint in international relations and will be far better for this country than would Clinton, who most probably will get us into more horrific wars by the end of her first year in office. Now, do I love everything that comes out of Trump's mouth? No.
Nope.
He is not perfect, and he will occasionally come across like a blunt instrument. But he does speak his mind. And, Mike, I think he's got the innate intelligence to learn quickly, ask the right questions of people who can bring him up to speed in the areas where he doesn't have expertise.
He can think on its feet, and that's something Hillary Clinton demonstrably cannot do.
No, absolutely.
She's got to be reading teleprompters in the podium. She's got to have voices and radios in her ear.
Yeah.
She's got to have all the stuff rehearsed and memorized. She can't think extemporaneously, and that's why all these moderators in the debates do everything they can to prevent Donald Trump from asking her a question for which she does not have a prepared answer.
Right.
And again, I don't agree with everything that Donald Trump says. In my opinion, his bluntness is part of his attraction.
Because I can see that.
We've had decades and decades of politicians who are euphemistic and they believe in social justice and they want to use gentle language on certain things. I think it's time for somebody who just comes on out and says what they mean. And the bottom line is you cannot have freedom of speech and an offensive free society.
Yeah.
No matter what you say, somebody's going to be offended by it. Mm-hmm. Even if what you're saying is the absolute truth, those who are threatened by that truth will be offended. So at this point, my attitude is, go ahead and be offended. Nothing's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
You know, go away, and, you know, if you have a counter-argument, that's fine. But attacking me or threatening me or attacking my server, that's not an adult response.
No, that's childish.
Yeah, but Donald Trump is a plain speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he hurt the feelings of the illegal immigrants. You know what? Too bad. Too bad the people who snuck into this country illegally had their feelings hurt. If their feelings are hurt that bad, they should go home.
Yeah. And interesting thing, ironic actually, coming to the end of Obama's presidency. Despite his Nobel Peace Prize, Obama's presidency has been defined by constant war.
Yes, but the Nobel Peace Prize is just a complete joke at this point.
Yeah.
They just awarded it to, I think, the president of Colombia. And he got the notification right after this possible truce to end this war with FARC collapsed.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And Obama's lack of ideological aversion to war punctuated in a Nobel Peace Prize speech that was all about the necessity of American interventionism abroad, presaged a foreign policy track which began with heavy escalations of the Afghan war and has since seen the U.S. dragged headlong into multiple wars like Afghanistan, which have no end in sight. You know, kids who were born in the last 15 years, that's all they've known is America at war in all these foreign countries. And the man has single-handedly set the U.S. up for even more aggressive and ferocious wars than even a George Bush could possibly conjure. And unfortunately, President Obama has been an epic fail, both domestically and internationally.
Okay, well, I'm looking at a story here that I think we should share.
Okay.
It's coming out of Counterpunch. Mm-hmm. Pentagon begins low-intensity stealth war in Syria. And it starts out with a quote from the Washington Post, where they were talking about just going on in and attacking Syria, but without publicly acknowledging it. And when you dovetail that with the report that the U.S. is now painting their aircraft operating in Syria to look like the Russian aircraft.
Russian colors,
yeah. They're going to go in and start bombing critical infrastructure. And they're going to say, look what Russia's doing. Oh, Russia's, terrible, terrible, terrible. And this is as obscene as when Israel used unmarked aircraft to attack the USS Liberty. This is just outright, it's invasion, it's war.
Mm-hmm.
World War III is now starting and there's not a thing that we can do about it. I'm very unhappy about that if you hadn't picked up on that by now.
Well, honey, the one thing that we can do the best we can is take care of the people that we care about, Again, if you have not started prepping, now would be a doggone good time to think about it and get out there and get it done. Because people who have thought about it, worked the scenarios over in their mind about what it's going to be like if there are disruptions with food and water and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I think they're going to have a much better chance to survive than those who have not.
Well, meanwhile, I'm showing my support for Vladimir Putin by drinking Russian vodka. A lot of it, I might add.
Oh, dear. Yeah, it's just, it's rough times, and these are the times that we have to be extraordinarily kind to ourselves and the people we love. Because, Michael, I know with you and me, it has been a very rough couple of months for peace and social justice.
It's been a couple of rough decades for peace and social justice.
But I mean,
I don't like that phrase social justice, because that's been co-opted by the people who say it's okay for guys to use the ladies' room.
Well, but you know what I mean in a deeper sense, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That people get a chance in this lifetime to fulfill the best part of their destiny, that kids get protected. And getting back to this issue of protection, if you have children in school, please make sure that you know what the policy is if you need to get them out of school in a heartbeat. If you don't know, you're likely to get absolutely caught up with the bureaucracy, and you have to sit down and say, if there is an emergency with my family, what do I do to get the kid out of school? That's going to be important if people have to pick up and move very quickly.
You're going to have a plan, and part of that plan is going to be prepared for a disruption in the supply chain, food and water and so forth.
Yep.
And you need to take a look around where you live and see if you are near any critical military facilities, because that ramps up the risk. Now, here on Oahu, we have the highest density of military bases of any state in the entire nation.
Yeah.
And it does, unfortunately, make us a target. And it could be Russia, it could be China, or it could even be another U.S. false flag, where they drop a nuke on here and say, oh, my goodness, North Korea has attacked us.
Yeah. It's you hardly know where necessarily something will start. But my sense is that we are heading toward an escalation.
I'm convinced we're going to be in this war by the end of the year. Regardless of the outcome of the election, because either they're going to have Hillary steal the White House and she's fully on board the wars, let's get them going now, or they're concerned that Trump is going to win and they're going to start the war and stick him with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Trump could fool them. Trump could get into the office, and his first day in office, he could call up Russia and China and say, you know, this is a stupid idea. I think we ought to call it off. And Putin would probably say, yeah, I agree. Let's just quit right now. And that could be it, because Donald Trump is not a professional career politician, and he's not obsessed with his historical legacy to the extent that you see somebody like a Bill Clinton or a Barack Obama or a Hillary Clinton. They dream at night of postage stamps with their faces on them in the future, and school children having to remember their names and birthdays. And I don't think Trump really cares about that kind of stuff. I think Trump, like me, realizes that there's a very low probability that we're going to be reading those future history books, so we don't care if we're in them or not.
Yeah. And when Obama talks about his legacy, what has he got left standing from his two terms in office, Mike? What do you think?
Oh, well, there's the accomplishments of Obamacare, and they're just going to keep throwing money at that. This government can never admit failure. They'll prop up Obamacare the way they're propping up Wall Street with as much of your money as it takes in order to be able to go down in the history books and say, this was an incredible success. And again, nothing new with that. Politicians never admit error. They talk about the environment here in Hawaii. Nobody ever talks about the disaster with the mongooses. They were actually imported to deal with the Polynesian rats.
Yeah.
Small problem. The rats are nocturnal. The mongooses operate in the daytime. They never meet each other. And instead of one pest, we now had two.
Yeah.
But nobody took responsibility for that.
Yeah. It's sort of a...
We'll blame it on that clerk over there emptying the trash can. It was his fault. His idea.
Yeah.
Take him out and throw him in the volcano.
Yeah. That whole concept of personal responsibility is something you just don't see in the political class.
I think anybody with a sense of personal responsibility can't survive in politics.
Yeah.
Anybody with a soul or a conscience, it'll tear them apart. I've known people who started to get into politics, mm-hmm. saw what it was really like, and just turned around and got out and said, there's no way I could ever be a part of that.
Yeah, yeah. It's the kind of life that can actually eat you up if you do have a conscience, which is why I have proposed that politicians have their conscience surgically removed before they take the oath of office.
They don't have one to remove. The doctor's going to be in there saying, I don't know, should be here somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, we're coming up to the end of the show here on this Friday, and what else did you have to talk about?
I have to talk about the release of a book, and the timing is just perfect. This is a book which is about Jeffrey Epstein. And it's a book about the relationship of him and Bill Clinton, and it's going to hit the stores on Monday. The publishers are betting that it is going to be out of the stores so fast it's going to make people's heads fly.
Well, I'm sure all of Hillary's supporters are going to be going in there and buying 2 and 3 copies each and taking them home and burning them.
Yes, yes. The book will address how billionaire Epstein flew Clinton around the world on his private jet to speak about his charitable work, while Epstein is a registered sex offender who was jailed for 13 months in 2008 for soliciting girls for underage prostitution. The book will also examine how Clinton once praised Epstein for his insights and generosity. And
especially generous with those underage girls.
Yeah, it also reveals that Clinton enjoyed a cozy relationship with him at the same time Epstein abused a string of young girls.
Well, that'll be very interesting. But again, the fact that Bill Clinton is a perv,
yeah,
it's not exactly headline news anymore. That's like saying rain is going to fall somewhere in the United States today.
Yeah. But I think that the timing was very excellent in terms of when the book was going to be released. And it's going to have a nasty boomerang effect on Hillary Clinton.
Well, the corporate media will either try and discredit it or dismiss it. And I think Donald Trump is right. Some of his advisors have been saying go after Hillary because of Bill's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But Trump is right. He needs to stick with the issues, the economy, the wars, and the corruptions that Hillary herself are involved in, and not try and tarnish her with the fact that her husband was out there fooling around. And by the way, the evidence is that because Bill and Hillary Clinton's marriage was for political expedience only, that they mm-hmm. had an understanding where they could both go out and fool around with other people, which is where this whole issue that Chelsea Clinton is actually Webb Hubble's daughter. And again, Hillary was rumored to be having an ongoing relationship with Vince Foster, going all the way back to Little Rock days.
Right.
And there are couples who have those kind of arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
It's hypocritical to pretend to be a loving, monogamous couple. But it's kind of a minor point, and I think Donald Trump and the independent media, mm-hmm. we need to stay focused on the Clinton Foundation, and we need to keep asking that question. We need to keep reminding everybody about how Bill Clinton back in 1996 was selling U.S. secrets to foreign governments in exchange for campaign donations,
right.
And it's legitimate to ask if Hillary Clinton has been doing exactly the same thing, using that weak email server to deliver the goods and that foundation to collect and launder the payments.
That would seem to be logical. I wonder what bank she was using to launder the payments. HBSC, by chance?
HSBC, probably in a whole network of them.
Yeah.
Again, the foundation itself is the laundry.
Yeah.
The money comes in marked as donation,
mm-hmm.
and then it goes out somewhere else clean and laundered and ready for use.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think that her behavior, should she steal / win the White House, is going to be any different.
No, that's something else people need to understand.
Yeah.
Okay, if you want to know what Hillary is going to be like in the White House, look at what she was as Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
She's been exactly the same way for 30 years. Her entire political life, she has been this way. She is not going to change when she gets into that White House. She's going to be exactly the same person that she is right now. Along with her deteriorating health condition, she's probably going to be very paranoid, because she has to know that all of this focus of attention on the Clinton Foundation, on all of her scandals, cattle future trades, travel office firings, the Bimbo Eruption Squad, all of that, the attention is not going to go away.
Yeah.
I mean, George Herbert Walker Bush literally had to quit the White House after one term because the investigation into Iran-Contra kept getting closer and closer and closer to him, and he literally threw the White House away, but he threw it to the one Democrat he knew would keep the secret of
right.
what was really going on with Iran-Contra, mm-hmm. the governor of Arkansas, Bill Clinton.
Yep.
And wouldn't be the first time that happened. When Richard Nixon knew he was eventually going to have to step down, he arranged for his vice president, Spiro Agnew, to be kicked out of office, and he brought in Gerald Ford. Why? Because Gerald Ford had been on the Warren Commission and would keep the secret about all that hanky-panky, as Nixon described it on the White House tapes, the Cuban thing. That was, and Gerald Ford did. He came on in, granted pardons to everybody to just shut the investigations down, because had the real story about who was behind Kennedy's assassination surfaced, it could have brought down the government. Just like if Hillary Clinton has been selling secrets to foreign governments, if that were to come out today, that could bring down the government. All right. Got to take a break for commercials. Back with the last segment of our program after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
People love to shop. What if you could shop and it was actually good for you? What if you could actually purchase items that bettered your life? What goes into your body is important to what quality of life you have. How about shopping for items that better your health? GetTheTea.com is that shopping place. We're not only tea, even though that's our number one seller, we are about helping your health. There's Colostrum LD for those of you with autoimmune troubles. The product helps your stomach get on track. GI problems produce pain. Get relief with Colostrum from LD. How about some fat burners, or maybe some joint aid, or a power cleanse? There's so much to tell you with very little time. So get help health-wise at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call our friendly operators at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Get help and relief by going shopping. Shop at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Serving people with great products for over 8 years. GetTheTea.com.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what's really happened?
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And turning back to Hurricane Matthew, it's down to a Category 3 storm. A little bit of minor damage has been reported at the Kennedy Space Flight Center. They're still concerned over possible damage to Disney World. And already the politicians are leaping on this thing to link it to global warming and why you must pay a carbon tax. And over at NBC, their prostitute Ron Allen literally came on out and said that the Paris Climate Accord that Obama is pushing to ratify will stop hurricanes. He actually came on out and said that. And over at PBS on their NewsHour, they hopped on in. Judy Woodruff and Gavin Schmidt pondered the interconnection between climate change, the deal, and the storm. Now, folks, first of all, warming does not create storms. A temperature differential causes storms. You can have monster storms with upper atmosphere cooling. And the proof of that is out on the outer gas giant planets that have storms the size of our entire world at temperatures 100 degrees below zero. Meanwhile, here in the real world, snow and blizzard caused traffic restrictions in Romania. Up in Saskatoon, we told you they were under a snow alert there. They broke a 100-year-old snowfall record, and it's snowing up at the Timberline Lodge. Now, a lot of people are still going over this revelation that Yahoo did not, in fact, suffer a massive hack. It was Yahoo itself scanning emails on behalf of the U.S. government, reading your emails, searching for key phrases, turning it over to law enforcement. Yahoo was scanning your mail before you even got to read it.
That's pretty disgusting.
And Yahoo was justifying what they did by saying they're obeying U.S. law. Well, Yahoo, you need to go back. Because there's that Fourth Amendment that is superseding all this other stuff that's coming from the government. And The Intercept is out there saying it's time to delete your Yahoo account. I could not agree more. Now, I never used it, but I did have a Yahoo account. As of today, it is deleted. And we need to start punishing those internet companies that violate our trust and our right to privacy.
I agree.
And so I think we're all ready to be willing to live with less than to put up with this nonsense. Meanwhile, as we head into the Christmas shoplifting season, the smash-and-grab point-of-sale hackers have released an update to their point-of-sale malware that grabs your credit card information, so forth and so on. And where's the NSA? Well, they can't be bothered actually finding cyber criminals. They're too busy stealing pictures of our naked lovers off of our computers to pleasure themselves with, as Edward Snowden pointed out. All right, so we're coming up here to the end of the show. And again, a quick reminder, I'm unavailable to do the show next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I've got something else I got to take care of. I couldn't move it, a conflicting schedule. But I will be updating the website as normal, and we'll be back live here on Thursday. Claire, is there anything you wanted to add?
I just wanted to add that now is the time for people to really start talking to people and sharing the information you get here.
Absolutely. It is so important. We have to shout down that corporate media propaganda machine or they're going to blow up our planet. There's the music. Time for us to get out of here and have yourself a really great weekend. We'll see you Thursday. Aloha, America.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for or fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years. And its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.